This is a Kirkendall Barrett presentation, darling.
You can touch it if you want.
Ladies, if you want to meet a man, check your storage closet.
Come on, Kendall, take off your shirt and go camera shopping at Best Buy.
Good shirtless, not bad shirtless.
Yeah.
Well, it was gratuitous.
Yeah, it was.
I like a good grizzled man sometimes.
A lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It is your favorite day of the week. It is time for another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about your favorite movies on Lifetime, the Hallmark Channel, and other places, too, and try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bauer.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
And the strike is over.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Les, you could show your face.
Oh. Oh, am I looking mysterious?
It was just like cutting off the top of your head there. I don't know if you were like trying to obey strike rules and not do anything that you weren't supposed to be doing.
Oh, like a secret, like when Geraldo used to do like the hidden camera, like, or the hidden face.
No, it was like you were scabbing for yourself.
Oh. Here we go.
Okay.
Anyway.
Heard they didn't straighten things out altogether with AI, though.
That's what I heard, too.
Yeah.
I think what happened there, and I could be completely wrong about this, but when they were first about to start negotiating way back when, no one was that concerned about AI. And then in that time, everyone started hearing about ChatGPT and how good it was, and everyone started getting scared. So that was suddenly like everyone's biggest concern. Right. And I think the negotiators finally realized, we don't understand this, they don't understand this, so let's just kind of punt the ball.
Well, Justine Bateman is not happy.
No.
Mallory?
Mallory's not happy at all.
What about Nick? Hey.
Whatever happened to Nick? I wonder what Nick looks like today.
What's his name? Scott Valentine?
Yes, hey. I think he probably either... My prediction is he either looks really good or not.
I'm gonna venture on the side of not, but I'm looking. Yeah. Let me look this up.
Google. He got a movie out of that.
Google.
It was called My Demon Lover.
Oh, I remember that movie.
Yeah. Let's see.
That movie had been a hit. He could have been a movie star. Justin Bateman's Satisfaction.
Right, I remember that.
Had been a hit.
Which is called something else, either overseas or when it aired on NBC, because it aired after Julia Roberts' career took off, so they renamed the movie and made her much more prominent in the promotion of it.
Yeah. It was called Pretty Woman 2.
No, I think it was called like Girls of Summer or something like that.
Yeah, I think I've seen that too. I think I mentioned this before, but there was an episode where Mallory and Nick were going to get married. And Alex P. Keaton says to the was a little kid. I don't remember the little kid's name, but he's like he says,
"Oh, Andy."
Kid. He goes, "Andy, Mallory and Nick are going to get married." And little Andy goes, "Hey!" And my grandmother just thought that was the funniest thing ever.
Little Andy, where's little Andy today?
Oh, he's in rough shape.
Isn't he like a MAGA nut job?
He's got like tattoos on his face.
Oh,
yeah. Look him up.
Well, so I found Scott Valentine. Scott's a handsome looking guy for, you know, he's, I'm assuming what it is, 60s, 60.
Yeah, it's gotta be around there.
Five or so. But he does still act occasionally, but like the last three things he did were all shorts. And then the last like thing that you guys would have heard of was CSI New York back in 2004.
Oh God, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's almost 20 years ago. Right,
let's look up Brian Bonsall. And I'm just
gonna Brian Bonsall, get ready for this.
Google. Google.
Oh. Exciting as I look this up.
people.
Well, while I look this up, we haven't done a show in a while. We haven't been able to address the passing of Matthew Perry.
Yes, I know. That's Chandler Bing has passed away. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's one of the ones that actually kind of got to me.
That one really hit me hard because I liked the show, and then I moved to California in its first season. So the show had not taken off. It was not the cultural phenomenon yet. And they were 20 somethings trying to figure out their lives. And I was a 20 something trying to figure out my life. And then the show blew up and I got to be an extra in a couple episodes in season two when the show was white hot. So it's to me, it just signifies a bunch of touchstones in my early development in California.
Were you in Central Perk? Did you see Gunther?
I've been in the real Central Perk. I was there. I think I mentioned this on the podcast. I was there the day the producers approached that actor, and I can't think of his name offhand, but approached him and said, "Hey, do you have any tape? Because we think we're going to start giving you lines this season."
Oh, good for Gunther. So you saw Gunther in the making.
Yeah. Because he was a real barista that they hired as an extra so that he looked like he knew what he was doing behind the counter there.
You were there for Gunther's origin story.
Yeah, before he had a name, I think.
Wow.
History being made.
That actor has since passed away, I guess.
Just recently.
Yeah, he died. I felt bad for Matthew Perry as well. I was never a huge fan of the show Friends because I always found Aniston. I'm not a big fan of Aniston.
How dare
you? Oh, really?
You?
Not a fan.
I love her, but I could understand one not being a fan of her. She does have certain acting tics that she does in pretty much every role she's in, but I love her. I think she's great.
How dare
I've never seen her in a movie. If she's in a movie that's good, it's usually good in spite of her.
There was one early on in her movie career. It was an indie, and she played I think she might have been like a waitress or something. And I'm not and not Office Space, although she is in that. Yeah. Oh gosh. Well,
I thought she was good. I think it was a movie called The Good Girl.
That's it.
And she was good in that. And that's the only thing I really have seen her in that I liked.
Kirk Fitzpatrick, how dare you talk about the daughter of Victor Kiriakis that way?
I don't think I'm the only person who feels this way. I also found Schwimmer annoying, but I think I think it was more the Ross character.
It is the Ross character because I've been watching just endless Friends clips since Matthew Perry died, and I'm now appreciating Schwimmer's comedic skills a lot more because I just found Ross annoying back in the day. But now I'm like, what he's doing to elevate this scene comedically every time I'm impressed.
Yeah.
But Matthew Perry, drug addiction, alcoholism, that's a motherfucker.
Yes.
I definitely feel for him on that. That was that's a real struggle to go through.
And that's why, for me, I'm in recovery and I'm open about it. And, so his struggles, I got it, because I had similar struggles myself. And, I actually read his book, and his big mission in his book is he wanted to help others and really help other people.
Yeah. And that's what you've heard from pretty much everyone that's talked about him that had also had addiction issues, and they've come out and said, he helped me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and who was Frank Azaria?
Hank Azaria from The Simpsons.
He wrote a letter that was pretty touching. So yeah, it's always, and when it was first being speculated how he passed away, I was like, damn. Which, it turned out to be heart issues, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, but, it, yeah, no, but, it, it, I think it was just related to him being in the hot tub.
Right. Well, and you know.
Yeah, but how do you pass out in a hot tub? And just.
Oh, no, you can. I've always passed out in a hot tub before.
Yeah, because it's so warm, but it's also relaxing. Oh. So you don't quite realize that you're not getting enough air.
Well, or even if you like, if you stand up too fast in a hot tub, because this has happened to me, you can get lightheaded and woozy very fast.
That's why there's always signs warning to not stay in there longer than like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's definitely possible.
Well, I'm going to be careful. Well, I haven't been in a hot tub in a while.
Yeah. Be careful, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Let's have a Lifetime of Hallmark hot tub party.
Right. And then what else is going on? Oh, I was in New York.
Oh, tell us about that.
I went back to New York to do my show, The Real Black Swan, Confession of America's First Black Drag Queen.
No,
I actually stayed with our friend Jaquetta. Hi, Jaquetta.
Hi, Jaquetta.
Jaquetta was asking, because we didn't have an episode, she was asking, when are we having an episode? And she wanted to know, when are we going to start talking about movies again?
Well, we can answer that. Well, both questions right now. This is the new episode. You're welcome. And I guess next week we're back to our normal grind, or at least somewhat.
Well, I've decided that I want to be a little more, how do I put it, liberal and open it up to more, to more places for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, we've done that the past few years.
Because like, you know, we talked about, you know, there's a Queen Lacey movie coming up, which I was scandalized for a brief second because Scott Wolf is in it. And we initially thought that she and Scott Wolf were going to play a married couple. And I was disgusted, but we found out that they will not be playing a married couple. Yeah, they're playing brother and sister.
But to be fair, the artwork certainly implies that they're a couple in the Hallmark vein.
Yeah. Oh, no, it totally does. Yeah. It totally is. But then it a lot of heavy hitters are doing Christmas TV movies. So I saw one. So Melissa McCarthy's doing one on Peacock, which I want to watch. Mm-hmm. And I just saw one on my way home. Eddie Murphy's doing one for Amazon Prime.
Well, so I think we're looking at that maybe a little bit different than the people starring in them are. They're not looking at it as, oh, this is a TV movie. They're looking at it as, this is a feature film. I'm getting paid the same amount of money, but it gets in front of more eyeballs a lot faster.
No, I'm not shitting on him. Yeah. You know, you got to do what you got to do. And then Melissa McCarthy's movie, I saw like, you know, there was long hair, and then I saw a cute little cut, which means there's going to be a makeover montage.
Well, she plays a genie.
Yes. Yeah. And you know how I love lady detectives and ladies with powers.
Yeah.
I didn't think I knew about ladies with powers.
Oh, I love a good girl with power show. Oh, yeah. Charmed, Buffy, you know, yeah.
I'm
Genie.
So here, I'm a little torn. I'll certainly watch it when we get to that, the Melissa McCarthy one, because I love her. I think she's fantastic, even though she's not always in the best material. Like, she's often better than the material.
I have a theory on that.
But this, I have a theory too, but I don't know if I should be so mean as to say it out loud.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't. Yeah, maybe we should say
it. But let's put it this way. Many other people have had that same theory.
Yeah, okay.
If it's, okay. I think we're on the same page here.
Yeah.
What are we trying to figure out? Why her material isn't good?
Well, it's her material generally only isn't good when there's another person involved in the creative process.
Because she on her own is a comic genius.
Yes.
I figured out what you're saying.
Yeah.
But don't say it.
Leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I mean, you could say it, but I wasn't going to say it out loud.
Do you want me to say it, Les? Is that okay?
It's on you.
Well, I don't know. If it's so horrible, it doesn't seem like it's that bad.
It's just mean. I guess I won't say it's just mean.
All right. I'll leave it alone.
Okay.
But we can talk about it.
I could be wrong, but I'm 99% sure that I know what you're saying. So I think other people could figure it out as well. But yesterday's news was dominated by this Will Smith.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
What do you mean dominated by Will Smith?
Parade magazine again.
So wait, Parade magazine comes out on Sundays. Why was there news about Will Smith yesterday from Parade that's dominated the news?
They've got an online thing. They've got an online thing. And then there were other articles that were underneath that. It was like all these weird news outlets and legitimate news outlets.
About and one the power bottom?
One article in the headline said he's a bottom. Didn't say he's a power bottom. Didn't say anything about power. I was like,
well, a bossy bottom?
Definitely a bossy bottom.
Now, what is this? Now, do I want to know?
What, a power bottom?
A bossy? What's the difference between a power bottom and a bossy bottom?
Well, there was a Venn diagram where they overlap.
Yes.
All right, I guess we don't want to get into this either. This is a cryptic episode.
How do we explain it? Because, Kurt, I want you to know. I want you to be informed. Well,
bossy bottom is just like you are the – sexually, you're the receiver –
well, I know
but you're still calling the shots as to, hey, do this. No, now do this. Now let's go this way. And the reason that there is an adjective in front of that name is because a top is always assumed to be the one in charge. It's not necessarily true, but that's sort of the assumption.
That's the bossy.
Yeah, the bossy, that's bossy. And then power just means, like, they can take it.
They're going to let you, they're going to let you have it.
Wait.
They're going to let you give it to them.
Okay. This is a very educational show.
The more you know.
Wow.
Bing, 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 bing. Well... speaking of knowledge, Kurt, you always have knowledge on Black China News. Do you have any Black China News?
Doing a piece of China.
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 I'm talking China.
The Black China Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, this news story was also dominating the news. I picked this for a reason, this particular story, and you'll see why. This is from BET, Black Ooh. Entertainment.
Uh-oh.
Television. Black China throws beautiful bash for daughter Dream's 7th birthday. It was a day filled with joy and magical moments for Dream. Dream Kardashian's 7th birthday celebration was one to remember. Angela White, formerly Black China, threw her daughter an unforgettable 7th birthday celebration. Her dad, Rob Kardashian, and auntie, Khloe Kardashian, also celebrated Dream's special day. White's friend, Monique Green, shares some adorable pictures from the special Princess and the Frog-themed party on Instagram. Okay, look at some of these pictures here. At the party, Dream was styled in a cheetah print dress paired with white sneakers. The birthday girl had the chance to meet a real-life Princess Tiana impersonator and even got to ride on a white pony with a mane that had rainbow colors. Upon arrival, there was a large sign read, Dream Kardashian's Royal Princess and the Frog Soiree, with a cartoon image of Princess Dream holding a frog. White was in full mommy mode, sporting a black crop top, leggings, and sneakers. She wore cropped and short hair with large framed black glasses, opting for no makeup. Excuse me. Last week, Khloe spared no expense for her niece's beauty parlor-themed soiree, which included giant bubble balloons, a pampering-style cake, face masks for the young guests, a piñata, and more. Khloe has said she feels incredibly blessed by her relationship with Dream. White spoke to ET in August about her relationship with the Kardashian family. I feel like time heals everything and people change and situations change. You get to see the situation for what it is, and the situation is Dream. And also, too, let's not leave out King. As long as my kids are good and happy on both sides, that's all I care about as a parent. And that's it.
So, if I were Black China, I'd be a little bit pissed off about the framing of this whole narrative.
Yes.
And why is that?
Because it wasn't Black China throwing the party for her daughter. It was one of the Kardashians, and not even the father of the kid throwing the party.
They made peace.
No,
I
think that this was an excuse to film the party for the Kardashian show.
Well, they're all in on that activity. But listen,
all I know is that they are talking about what Black China is wearing again, which is a good thing.
That's what I figured you would enjoy about this article.
Yes.
Although Dream's outfit was a little more interesting. Dream was wearing a cheetah print.
Well, Black China is, she's not about that life anymore. She's not about the cheetah life anymore.
No, but she was, they said mom mode and then they said she was in a crop top. And I don't think I've ever seen my mom in a crop top.
Right. Crop top.
It's a different time.
Perhaps.
Yes, but it certainly is. Sure was a different time when they made this Rumi show.
Oh my God, this movie, okay, I feel, I sent you guys this message. I felt attacked watching this movie.
It would have made sense that it was this bad if it hadn't been picked up to series. Yeah. Like, if they just made a pilot and this is the pilot, it's like, it doesn't, what you're trying here doesn't quite work. But it is so bad, so cringeworthy.
Yeah.
So, it's.
Well, it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
It made absolutely no sense.
I saw this show. I don't know. Do you guys remember when this was on?
I feel like I probably saw this episode before, but I don't know that I watched the whole series.
I remember when the show was on, and I had no memory that Corey Haim was the roommate. I remember Burt Young because Burt Young was in Back to School, which was a little bit before this. So I remember when this show came on, I thought, oh, this is kind of like a Back to School thing. He's literally back to school, but it's Burt Young.
Because this is one of those, you look, it's like, did he need cash? Was he in trouble?
No, Burt Young was kind of a working actor. So this was a pretty good opportunity for him. I don't think he was ever a series regular before this.
It makes the timing in this. This came out in what year? 87, 88?
Yeah, about that.
That's right. What I don't understand is, like, the Rocky movies had already sort of peaked. This guy isn't that. He's not electric on screen to lead a half-hour sitcom.
Yeah.
Much less one where you're paired up alongside a bunch of people much younger than you. And the way they seemingly got around that is, with the exception of Corey Haim, none of these college students looked under 40 years old.
Oh my God, Jason, that's the exact note that I wrote. I wrote that exact note.
I feel really old learning that the character of Nick, played by Burt Young, was supposed to be 42 years old.
That's a hard living 42.
Yes, that's ridiculous. He looks
that
like
was a 70. Hard living. Ugh. That was a 42, like, strung out on heroin and then being kept in the sun for 10 years.
Come on. Burt Young recently passed away. His
rest in peace.
He should be rolling in his grave for this piece of shit.
Yeah.
I picked this movie out because I know Burt Young is a gay icon.
This movie should have been a public service announcement. You need to moisturize.
What? Kurt? What?
Wait, what did he say about a gay icon?
He said Burt Young is a gay icon.
Since when? Burt Young was not a gay icon.
Is this a thing that you have heard, or you're just trying to stir things up?
Where did you read this parade?
Hey, come on. Don't mock that Sunday publication. No, I never heard that before.
So the reason we're saying this show was cringy and problematic is the premise of the show. This show, Roomies, it aired on NBC, and it's centered around Nick Chase, a 42-year-old former drill instructor. He's retired from the U.S. Marine Corps, and he's taken advantage of the GI Bill to go back to college. Nice premise, okay?
Right.
And then, you know, it's the 80s, so it's got to be a wacky sitcom. So they give him a roommate, but like, it's college. What would make it an extra wacky roommate if the person he's assigned a room with is a child genius? So the premise of this show is that they are taking an adult man that has served our country, and he now has to share bunk beds with a 14-year-old boy.
And if I was in charge of this school or dorm or whatever, I'd say, look, the old gentleman, you're not staying in the dorm. You're going to be staying in assisted living down the street. And the young man is going to be living with his parents because he's 14 years old. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, like, I can even buy that they're allowing a 42-year-old man to live in the dorms. I don't buy that they're allowing a 14-year-old to both live in the dorms and share a room with somebody who is not also a minor.
Yeah. Because I've heard stories before, and I've read stories before about teenagers going to college.
Yeah.
And they do live in the dorm.
Yeah, but they usually have, like, their own room as a result of being a teenager.
Yeah. And I've never heard of a 42-year-old going to school who looks like he's 69.
Yeah.
Who's in a dorm. It's like, are you kidding? And he's like, I'm going to go out to the party tonight.
Yeah.
So, well, that I don't fault him for.
You know, well,
that I don't fault him for going to the party.
Yeah, but Les, he's going to a party like we went to that party years ago in Chicago.
Oh, yes. Kurt, we were around, I was around 42 when I went to that party.
There you go. We were living the Rubies show.
So Jason, did we ever tell you the story? We were both doing shows in Chicago.
Okay. Does Kurt come out of the story as a gay icon?
He could have.
Okay.
Because of this podcast, I'm a gay icon.
That's true. That is
Wait,
true.
This was the day. This was like a couple of days after I showed up late at the gay bar on purpose.
Yeah. So it was a busy week.
In Chicago. And
it was a fun week.
So there was this volunteer, and so she invited us. It was me, Kurt, and Philip, and this our friend Philip. And she was like in her 20s. She was, you know, and she invited us to this party. She's like, hey, come meet us at this party. We show up at this party, and we are the oldest ones there by like over 20 years.
And did you become roommates with any of these people?
It was fun.
No, but I did get asked what school I went to.
Oh, that's good.
We ended up staying at this party. The party turned out to be fun, and we ended up staying for hours.
Yeah, I remember had a good time.
But yes, that was. I loved that. What school did you go to?
Saginaw University.
Oh yeah, that's right. The guy had Burt Young had a. It was called like Saginaw, but it looked like vagina.
Well, that word sort of has a lot of the same letters in the middle.
Yeah, but he was wearing this like, you know, sweatshirt and like a coat over that. So I thought it looked like it said vagina at first. He goes to Vagina University.
Well,
if there is such a thing, maybe I should go back.
Well, he had to go there because he was a gay icon. He didn't know anything about vaginas,
right? So Corey had a thing. What was his name? Matthew.
I guess we got to get started from the beginning.
Was it named Matt? He had
Matthew.
Matthew had a thing for fish,
like for young.
Damn, guy passed away.
So they're so? Both dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Corheim died too.
And so he kept eluding his roommates because of this fish,
right?
And then he had fish in the closet, which I thought was weird, too.
metaphor is everywhere.
So then the RA, who looked like he was like 45.
He wasn't an RA.
He was a poor man's Joe, a Joe Isuzu.
He really was.
He wasn't an RA.
He was the RA.
He was the RA. Yeah, he was. He was the RA. Who looked like he was like, you know, about to get Social Security.
RA, in his case, RA stands for Right Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, I try to come up with something clever.
He brings in Nick, and then he starts off, hey, Nick, you're the oldest student. Meet the youngest student. And then they had like an opening, a theme song, and that was boring too.
The theme song was, do you know who did it?
Who?
Billy Vera and the Beaters.
Well, who's that?
So this actually brings it full circle because we were talking about Family Ties earlier. Do you remember when Michael J. Fox and Tracy Pollan's character like first got together on Family Ties and they slow danced to this song that then became like this huge hit at radio? That was a song called At This Moment by Billy Vera and the Beaters. And it was like the third re-release of the song and the first time it became a hit. And it was because of Family Ties.
Okay.
And then Billy went on to do this theme song. And also, in 1990, went on to be the band leader on Into the Night starring Rick Dees.
Wow. So then was this Billy Vera's sophomore slump, the song?
No, he never, outside of that one song, he never really had a lot of, like, radio success, but was sort of known in the music world, like, to those that were in L.A., so he would play, like, residencies around town, as I understand it, and I think he still does, like, you know, TV and movie scores and stuff like that now.
Okay, but yeah, I even wrote in my notes, I wrote even the opening is boring.
Well, the opening kind of gave the premise, and Corey Haim was trying to get roommates, like these guys who, yeah, they looked older. They looked
but, you know, I love a catchy show opening. Mm-hmm. I love a catchy show opening that tells the story of why we're there, but that didn't cut it. Yeah. And, yeah, I was looking at all these old men. It looked like, you know, a bathhouse or something. All these old men, like, shaking their heads no and walking like, out.
And the first scene after the opening credits is all of these 40-year-old shirtless men in the lock – in the common bathroom for the floor, just, like, all walking around. It was so homoerotic.
Yeah, well, even this one guy who I was like, this gay guy was like, my eyes have seen it all. Like, there was, like, action going on in the bathroom. Like,
yeah.
There was a good order. Come on, where are we at here?
Oh, did I jump ahead?
Bathroom.
Oh, is that where we're at?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I guess
there was,
like,
all this activity going on in the bathroom.
Yeah, because you've got these, like, the three singing guys that kept appearing in the show for no fucking reason.
Singing Walk Like an Egyptian in the men's bathroom in towels. What does that tell you?
Yeah, what's their relationship?
I can speculate their relationship.
Yeah. Who's the bottom and who's the middle? Now, I read about, there was an article about these three guys in, like, it was Parade. I think it was like
Parade. Wait. What do you mean you saw an article about these three guys in Parade? Was this like you went down a rabbit hole and you stumbled on this? Or like you've been following their career for a while?
I have a memory of this. I'm looking at this Parade magazine in the late 80s.
Okay.
And they had an article about it. That's a singing. Somebody, it was one of those like little those newspaper things. And somebody wrote a question. They said, hey, who are these three freshmen who sang?
And
they
had like net jobs.
They had a little article about them.
So were they like a group?
Well, that's all I remember.
I wonder if they were on like Star Search or something back in the day.
Probably.
They're on every episode walking around singing.
How many episodes were...
It's like a season.
I think there were like 8 episodes that aired.
Oh, jeez.
And so the funny thing is, so this like premiered mid-season on NBC, and I forget what night it was on, but it didn't do well. Gets canceled. But then a couple of years later, they reran it on Saturday mornings. I'm assuming paired with like Saved by the Bell or something.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there was a period where NBC was very much going after the, hey, we've got all these shows with teens in the center, but there's always still a strong adult in the mix, too.
Oh, like Mr. Belding on Saved by the Bell.
Mr. Belding, Saved by the Bell, but even Facts of Life and Different Strokes. They had a lot of, and Silver Spoons. They had a lot of shows that were really targeting teens more than anything.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So this guy had like fucked up hair.
Yeah. One of the side characters, yeah.
And he was like, I guess maybe he was on drugs too.
Yeah, he seemed to have some addiction issues.
Because he's like, I shouldn't be here.
No, he should be in rehab. Everybody in that show needs to be somewhere else.
Yeah. Right.
I like the guy with the big hair.
But then it perked my interest for a second because then they were talking about a party that was going to go the entire weekend. And Burt Young gets invited. So Corey says that he can't go because his dad is coming to visit. And in the opening, they showed the dad. Isn't the dad from Hill Street Blues?
Oh, I didn't catch that.
I think the dad was from Hill Street Blues. Because in the opening, they showed Corey trying to hug his dad, and his dad, like, pushes him away and shakes his hand.
Standoffish.
Yes. And then one of the guys was like to Corey, well, what are you, 13? And he's like, no, I'm 14.
No, he said he was 19.
Oh.
He lied and said he was 19, yeah.
So then he goes to, so they're at the library. Wait, I have in my notes, don't eat hamburger. Why is
that? Happens. It's not a library, it's a bookstore.
Oh, okay.
Like a
college bookstore.
Like a, yeah, like a university bookstore, yeah. Because Burt Young ate, it's ironic his name is Young.
Mm-hmm.
But, how did he say it? So he's eating, he said he ate a hamburger. And Corey Haim says, that's the worst thing you could eat. But that's just...
That was it? That was the line of dialogue?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was quite witty.
That's a choice.
And then there's this girl, and this lady, she's cute. She's like at the cash register. And then Corey notices that they have a lot of books about fish.
Yeah.
And he actually hits on this woman.
But he doesn't know he's hitting on her in the moment. He's sort of like oblivious to the fact that he's flirting with her.
Because he's hitting her. And she's like biting, actually. Or is she biting or is she being nice?
I think she's being nice.
Yeah.
Which, either way, like, if it was intended as she's just being nice, then that's fine. But if it's intended that there's like a little bit of a connection here, that again is super inappropriate because her character is probably at least 18 or 19.
Yeah.
And he's 14.
Problematic.
Yeah.
And at one point he does fish lips to her.
Yeah. I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But he did fish lips.
Yeah.
You know who felt more uncomfortable? Burt Young.
Who's that?
Burt Young.
Ironic.
You don't like the fish.
True.
Gay icon, Burt Young.
I'm calling you out on that.
Started that premise on this very show, Kurt, on this very episode.
You were judgmental when I said he was young, it was ironic, and then you got that silly joke.
I was questioning where you had heard that.
What? Young is ironic?
No, that Young is a gay icon.
I never heard he was a gay icon. I just said that.
So, but speaking of gay icon, Burt Young, so Corey, like...
I'm only kidding.
He asks the girl out, and then gay icon, Burt Young, is sitting in class... taking notes, and he's so ridiculous because the teacher's just shooting the shit, and the teacher looks at him and like, you don't need to even be taking notes yet, gay icon Burt Young.
Damn. I had a premonition of a possible romance between the teacher and Burt Young.
So did I.
And that would have been a way more appropriate route to take this episode than what they did.
Yeah, it just gets worse.
It gets sadder, too. It gets really sad. Not sad like I'm crying, but sad like, oh.
Like, this is pathetic.
You're lying, man. Because
this class actually sounded like it was going to be interesting, though, because it was talking about why people do the things they do, why people behave the way that they behave.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
I think the people who made the show should have been actually in the class.
Yeah.
They could have learned something. Could you imagine being this old? I mean, 42, he looks more like he's like 60, as I said.
He looks like he's 62.
So could you imagine being like 62 and you're going back to college and you're hanging out with some 14-year-old kid? That's okay. I don't need to be doing that.
So then Corey, so then after class, Corey's talking about fish again. And, oh, they're in the bathroom, right?
And the fucking singers are there again.
Taking a dump.
All together.
Yeah. Singing. And they just show their shoes and they're like dumping after Corey is in the bathroom talking about fish.
Well, they're synced together. They say that like when a bunch of girls are in a dormitory, their periods will sync up.
So you think that the three singing guys dumping yes. schedules are in sync?
That's what happens when boys in a dormitory, their shitting syncs up.
Well, that seems like it would be problematic for the plumbing at the school.
Yes, it really does.
It is.
So then in the bathroom, there was a lot of action happened in this bathroom. Because then this guy walks up to Nick and is like, this is my roommate. And then the roommate says is, I have 10% body fat.
Like, again, like, this... there's no questioning that all this bathroom stuff with these supposed to be college age men, yet they are clearly well into middle age. There's so much homoeroticism going on in this show.
Tell me about it. This is like the bathroom on the set of Fresh
Prince. Because I was like, because yeah, why would the roommate who looked like he was like on the younger side, like he looked like he was 35, say that he had 10% body fat reason?
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys did look. Especially that one roommate you're talking about. He definitely looked,
old.
Yeah.
Well, that and perhaps
decrepit.
Well, I thought he looked a bit gay.
Washed up and gay.
Gay. Yeah. Look, gay icon Bert Young heads up a TV series. He's like, hey, we got to gay it up. We're going to have a bunch of shirtless middle-aged men in here because that's what I am into. Also young boys. Also young boys.
Damn. Right.
I died.
We're going to make this a party.
But I've hired my gay friends and you can't stop me.
Listen to this thing? Do they understand what's going on here?
Because I'm a gay icon.
We start getting listeners. We're in big trouble.
So then Corey is in the room waiting for his dad. And then, speaking of gay, do you see Bert's jacket? That was a gay jacket.
Well, he got it in, where in the Philippines?
He says got it in the Philippines.
Yeah.
That was a jacket. No, that jacket was like Liberace level.
Yeah, it's like, I wouldn't wear that, but there's definitely a type of gay man that would wear that.
Oh, yes. We know the type. We know them. We know several people who would wear
He
that
would buy
jacket.
There's a – like, I think I've talked about this, how, like, every city has sort of, like, one or two of the, like, super gay stores where they've got stuff that you would not see anywhere else. And there's a place here in WeHo, I'll tell you off the podcast, but I could absolutely see him buying that jacket there.
Yes, I had to go by that store before I went to New York because I needed some props for my show, like a fan and different. And
oh, this is not WeHo Block Party that I'm talking about. There's another one.
Oh, there's another one?
Yeah, it's a few doors down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Kurt's like, what?
Well, I don't know, but if anybody wanted to Google map this.
Oh, you will know.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Where were we?
So we know Matthew's dad isn't coming now, yeah.
Wait, so this is the part that I had a problem with. So we know that his dad isn't coming. They're going to the party, and Corey says, "Oh, I met this girl that I like," and gay icon Burt Young is like, "Go for it. All right, that's fine." But then they go looking for her, and her friends are like, "Oh, she went home for the weekend." Gay icon Burt Young is like, "Come on, kid. We're going to now become stalkers and go and get on the bus and show up at her house."
I'd like to back up and counter that it's not okay that Burt Young is like, "Hey, go for it," because this girl is an adult woman.
Right.
And he is a teenager.
Why did they go to the party? I thought that's where they were headed. I couldn't believe where this was headed.
Because I thought maybe they'd go to the party and maybe he'd either meet like another younger girl, like mm-hmm. a female counterpart that's like, "I'm 13 too." Or even a younger, like if the girl was like 18 and she kissed Corey, like
still a crime.
Yeah. No, it's not. A closed mouth kiss.
Or, okay, so maybe she's a young student, like a 17-year-old.
I think the way that justified is, like you said, he goes there and there's another young, maybe like another genius that's at the school. Hey, this party is at this college student's house, but his younger sister is there too.
Right, exactly. Like the younger sister and she's in the high school, and then they start like a little romance.
Yeah.
I think they should have gone the other way. That party should have just been fucked up. Orgies.
Well, that's what Burt Young, the gay icon, wanted.
Right, that's what he wanted.
He wanted those three guys to finish up with their dump because it's time for sex.
Okay. Now, how do I put this?
Flinging body fluids.
How do I put this? A lot of the ladies on this show were, how do I put this nicely? Kind of rough. Because whenever Burt Young...
Because gay icon Burt Young's only friends and he cast them on the show are all butch lesbians.
Word you're looking for is haggard.
Because whenever gay icon Burt Young would say anything to a woman around his age, she was always like, "Yeah, well, you know," and had like some comeback, but it was like, "Yeah, well." Because like this one woman, he was like, "I'm looking for a girl," and she's like, "Yeah, try the dot." They were all like women.
Mm-hmm. That was a little bit. That was interesting. Some insight on what's going on in the docks.
They're all like these hardened, jaded women.
Yeah,
it's a rough world out there. This was the 1987 too.
Now, why was he saying that Melissa looked like? Oh, because the woman that worked in the bookstore was named Melissa. Why was he saying that she looked like Evening Mist?
I think he was just trying to describe why he was infatuated with her to gay icon Burt Young. Because Burt Young couldn't wrap his head around, like, feeling that way about a woman.
Well, because he's the gay icon.
Yeah.
I think that cease and desist from these people.
So.
The state.
So they're on the bus, and I wrote, they skipped the party for this? Just to be on a bus for hours?
They bullied somebody into giving them a student's home address. A female student's home address. They gave it to a 42-year-old man and a 14-year-old boy. And nobody really questioned the how ethical that might be.
This was the 80s, though, when they did shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, it was a different time.
I think I was around 14 around this year.
So then they're on the bus. They're on the bus, and Corey asks gay icon Burt Young what the army was like.
The Marines, yeah.
Or the Marines, and he told him. And then they're on the bus, and then he hits on some woman on the bus, and she's like, "Yeah, well, whatever."
Burt Young does, yeah.
And then they show up.
Oh, wait. And we skipped over a direct quote. This is a quote that Burt Young said on the bus. He says, when she says no to a date, she doesn't always mean no.
Well.
Uh-oh.
it was the 80s. Were different.
No means no, Burt Young.
I feel like the phrase no means no had already been a thing by this point. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it was.
And wasn't this around the time, do you know where your children are? It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
Living with some 42-year-old on a college campus, apparently.
Hey, my son's Corey Haim. I'm not letting him in a room with Burt Young. I show up to college and drop him off. I'm like, oh, no.
Well, they didn't. In gay icon Burt Young's defense, Corey Haim was there first.
Yeah, and he had several roommates by then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm coming back up to the school and saying, forget this.
Yeah.
I'm straightening up the surgery. I would let my 14-year-old go to school like that.
But his parents want, his dad wanted to get rid of him anyway.
Yeah. Well, see, they don't care. I'd be more, involved.
So then they show up at this place waiting for Melissa. And this place turns out to be a wedding. And Melissa is getting married.
Melissa's fucking wedding.
Melissa's wedding.
They're like, you know, we've already got kind of a creepy line that we're walking on the fine line right now of like, he's going after this woman and he's a kid. And it's like, and now they're in a bus and they like got her address. It's kind of creepy. What makes it worse? Oh, she is getting married.
I thought it was her funeral at first because they walk in. It looks more like a funeral home.
Mm-hmm. Well, because she's an 18-year-old getting married, so it is a kind of a funeral home for her.
It was a metaphor for gay icon Burt Young that having to marry a woman is a death sentence.
Burt Young is not gay.
Well, he's dead now. Who knows? He might be a gay ghost.
But that's the thing. It's like so she was 18 and getting married.
We don't even know she was 18.
Oh, that's true.
We just know she worked in a college bookstore, a college that clearly has a bunch of middle-aged students. So for all we know, Melissa could have been like 45.
Yeah.
I think this is her second marriage.
Yeah.
It could have been.
They say those are always, you know, those are the best.
It could have been.
So I think Melissa's going to be all right.
Well, is he going to go on to, like, try to wreck her marriage?
Well, I don't think he's going to have the opportunity.
Well, I'll never find out because I'm not watching another episode of this.
She's getting married. And first of all, when the wedding's going on in someone's house, in her house.
On a Saturday.
And I guess it's happening at, like, 9 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night on the
well, I've been
and like during the school year. Like, and granted, like you could get married whenever you want, but it would seem like for planning purposes, you'd want to do it when you yourself have a little more time to enjoy the night.
Yeah,
true.
Very strange situation.
Well, anyway, that was about it, and this show was strange.
Yeah. That was straight up terrible.
That was rough.
I brought this show on too.
They didn't even try to make it good.
Because I got an eyeful of this one. I was like, yeah.
It was now, and they had elements that could have worked. It just they were trying to do too much and hadn't quite fleshed it out yet. Like the concept of this adult male mentoring this young boy or them sort of learning from each other at their different stages of their lives, there's something there. But yeah. Burt Young was not a sitcom actor and was really slow. Corey Haim wasn't seasoned enough to know that he was going way too fast. And so there was just no chemistry.
And, you know,
I noticed Burt Young, he'd get a little handsy with him. Sometimes too.
Well, you know,
a little inappropriate. They put his arm around him and stuff, which I don't know. Is it fatherly, uncle-y?
Well, this is before you had to ask consent before you know.
I put my arm around you, little boy.
Like now, it's like you'd be like, "May I hug you?"
Well, it's not more deranged than Burt Young's role in Rocky IV when they implied that he was having sex with a robot. quite a career was going on there.
They implied that he had sex with a robot.
I feel like I should feel bad for saying all this stuff about Burt Young, but I just don't. I think I've become a
sociopath. He's never going to hear you.
Well, he's, I don't know. You know, he's looking down from heaven and this is all he sees and hears.
That's assuming he went to heaven. That's assuming heaven exists. You're overthinking this.
Yeah.
So what did we learn today, class? Burt Young is a gay icon.
Yes. And don't room with someone 30 years your junior.
Yeah, and nobody said he's gay.
And don't hit on the woman who works in the bookstore because you don't know how old she is.
Yeah. Nobody said he's gay. It's different than being you can be a gay icon and not be gay.
No, that's true.
For sure.
Well, that's what I said. Dolly Parton. I'm a gay icon. I'm a gay icon from the show. So, but I said, I'm not gay.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And conversely, no, Les and I are straight icons. You're welcome, America.
Exactly.
Straight icons.
Yeah.
Yes.
How does this work?
Same way as gay icons, but in reverse.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And speaking of iconic, if you want to find me, you can find me on my website, leskirkendallbarrett.com. Jason.
Please rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. It helps more people find us. Give us 5 stars. You can find all of us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. And you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Big Shot Jason. Kurt?
I'm at KurtFitzpatrick.com. I will be doing another shelf-shedding movie podcast as soon as I watch all the Scorsese movies I'm supposed to watch. Then Jason DeBray and I are going to do a podcast. It's just waiting and waiting and waiting for me to watch these movies.
It sounds like he's going to wait a long time.
Yeah, I've got a couple people writing to me. It was one person just wrote me, Kurt, with a question mark, and I still haven't responded. So there's a couple. Yeah, you know, I'm spent, guys. If you're listening to the show now, you're trying to reach me. I'm just spent. I know you're out there. Okay. That's all I got for this week.
And be warned that Kurt is going to be tied up as we get into a Hallmark movie again next week. We're back to it.
Yeah.
But I'm done with the Conjuring movies. I watched all the Conjuring movies as a stress relief. I watched Annabelle, The Nun 2.
I love everything. Annabelle.
Everything. I love Annabelle. I've ordered an Annabelle Funko doll so I can have my own little Annabelle doll. But I've got that out of my system.
With Annabelle, it's like, okay, you people look at this creepy ass doll. What makes you think that your kid would want this creepy ass thing?
She's great.
I know. She was great. I like when her eyes would move.
She doesn't move too much. Not when you're looking at her.
Nope. She just looks deranged.
When you look away, she moves. Or you see her shadow moving.
Anyway, well, I guess that's it. So,
all right.
Oh, I can't believe next week's Thanksgiving. Anyway.
I gotta do that, too.
Yes, okay. You gotta do that, too.
Oh, that's
it's our tax season. It's our busy season.
All right.
Anyway, I'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.